This is Dr. David Friedman, host of To Your Good Health Radio. A growing number of females are choosing to leave their jobs to be stay-at-home moms. Today, Samantha Edis joins us to share why doing so may not be the best idea. As author of the book Pie Life, she's also a sought-after keynote speaker, successful businesswoman, radio show host, and mother of three. How can moms have their pie and eat it too? Stay with us. It all starts now.
It's To Your Good Health Radio with number one best-selling author and renowned wellness expert, Dr. David Friedman, changing lives just for the health of it.
Our next guest has worked with thousands of CEOs, celebrities, and professionals who want to maximize their potential. Since earning her undergraduate and MBA degree from Harvard, she went on to become a national best-selling author, writer for Forbes, sought-after speaker, a TV contributor, and host of a nationally syndicated call-in radio show. She's been featured on many TV shows, including Access Hollywood, The Today Show, Good Morning America, and Fox and Friends, just to name a few. Welcome to the show, Samantha Edis, author of the book The Pie Life, A Guilt-Free Recipe for Success and Satisfaction. Great to have you with us.
I am so thrilled to be here. Thank you.
That's great. Now, your book uses a metaphor of a pie. Share with us first, what's the meaning of the title Pie Life?
Sure. So I've worked with thousands of women, and what I found is that we really have no healthy framework for thinking about work and life. And I came up with this new framework after working with so many successful women and finding that the most fulfilled among us are those that are involved in six or seven areas of their life, not just one or two. So they're focused on their health and their friends and their relationship or their quest to find one and their career and their hobbies and their community. And so in doing that, they actually create healthier lifestyles for themselves. So by having a few bites of each of those slices, that's how you have the most fulfilling life.
Right. Now, I know in your book, you make a great case for why mothers should keep a foot in the workplace to stay balanced and happy. How can work, that's a negative four-letter word for most, bring moms joy?
Yeah. Well, you know, we always had goals of our own. When we were in high school, our goal was to get into college. When we were in college, our goal was to get the best job possible. And then we got our first job and it was to get promoted. And when we have kids, we don't suddenly lose the desire to have personal goals. And where you see people get into trouble is when they make their kids their goals, or, you know, their partner's success becomes their goals. It's really important that we always have goals of our own throughout our lives. And so one of the things about the Pie Life method is that even by acknowledging that the slices exist, so for example, you might not spend any time with your friends today, but by putting a friend's sliver on your pie, you're going to make a goal for that slice. So the idea is that you make a goal for each slice of your life, and then you start focusing on that. It's not about beating yourself up on how much time you're spending in each area, because we're probably pretty realistic about how we're doing that. Instead, it's acknowledging that it's important to have each area, you know, accounted for. And, you know, the thing about working after kids is that those baby years are so short. You know, there's only about 5 years until your child is in kindergarten full time. And so it's so important to realize that that's going to go by fast. But unfortunately, our workplace isn't designed for us to go in and out of it. And so while we like to think that a pregnant woman has choices and she could stay home or she could be at work, what we actually find statistically is that once you leave the workforce, you have no choices.
Right. And I think you mentioned a startling statistic. You said more than 50% of women that take off work can't go back. Share why that is.
Yeah. So only 40% of women who take off time to raise kids will ever again find a full-time position. So the odds of going back to work after you take time off are worse than the toss of a coin. And we don't really tell women that. When we see a pregnant woman, we look at her and we say, oh my gosh, what are you going to do? Are you going to continue to work, or are you going to, you know, focus on your baby's feeding and sleeping schedule? And when we do that, we're really selling a myth, which is the idea that she can go back to work when she wants. So unfortunately, that's not the case. And financially, it's also really risky. So if you leave the workforce for just 1 year, you lose 18% of your future earnings forever. If you leave the workforce for 3 years, you lose 38% of your future earnings. So the best thing you can do is just keep your career in some way during those baby years. I call them the maintenance years because it is really sleepless and really manual labor intensive. And so if you can just keep a foot in the door during those 5 years, you're a winner. You know, it's not necessarily the time you have to leapfrog three levels. Save that for when your kids are in school full time.
Right. Yeah, I know over the years I've had a couple really wonderful employees take maternity leave and then later decide not to return, even part-time, because they decided to be stay-at-home moms. They really enjoyed working with me, but they felt this obligation to spend every waking moment with their child. Is that the issue?
Yeah, and you know, I mean, David, we live in the age of over-parenting. And so what we've now created is a generation of kids who are so dependent. I was once, a few weeks ago with a college professor who explained to me that more than half of his students' parents regularly contact him. Now, when I don't know about you, but when I was in college, my parents didn't even know the names of my professors, let alone think of calling them, right? I mean, it's like unheard of. But that's the generation we've created because we overparent. And so it's just like if you were at work all the time, I would tell you you're a workaholic. If you're parenting all the time, you're a parentaholic, and that's also not good for our kids. And so we all know the dangers of helicopter parenting, and one of the best protections against helicopter parenting is working.
Right. And I mean, you're a great poster child for this. You have so many dimensions in your life. You're a mom, a wife. You juggle an amazing career, which includes TV, radio interviews, your own radio show, lecturing, writing. How do you balance all this and give everything your all?
Well, one of the things is I have a very supportive partner, and I always say I've never seen any person, man or woman, reach their potential who isn't either single or with a partner who really is a 50%er, who really supports their dream. And so that means that we really support each other's careers, and right. Having that partner in the mix is super helpful to me. When I'm on the road, he's not. When he's on the road, I'm not. And so we really are a tag team that way. And then the other thing is I involve my kids as much as possible. So, you know, yesterday I was finishing the recording of my audiobook, and my daughter was so excited about it. She came to the studio with me. And so rather than apologize to my kids for working, I see it as something that adds a new dimension to their lives. And they're so proud of my career. And I feel like I'm a role model to them for whatever they might do in the future. And so I think of myself when I go to work as I'm bringing back all these experiences and people that enrich our lives rather than taking away from them.
Right. You know, like you, I'm an overachiever as well. I believe in embracing life and seize every moment of every day. When people ask me how I do it, Sam, I do the math for them. There's 24 hours in a day. If you spend 8 hours at your job and, you know, 7 hours sleeping, that leaves an extra 9 hours. That's plenty of time to work out, cook, shop, be a spouse, parent, watch a TV show.
Oh, I love that. You know what?
Nine hours. I love your idea.
I love how you describe it. I think that's amazing. I love it.
And actually, 9 hours is more than your typical work day. So you get an extra entire work day to do all this stuff. And when I tell that to people, they go, oh, really? I think it's time management. The people think their plate is so full, but their plate's actually bigger than their brain thinks, is my thinking.
It's so true. And, you know, one of the chapters in my book is called The 25th Hour, because a lot of people will say to me, hold on, I barely have time for two or three slices that I'm engaged in right now. How am I going to add four slices to that? You know, and so I feel an obligation to help people with their time management, because it really is the fact that we have more time than we realize. And there's a lot of things that we do to our schedules that really eliminate so much great time. So one of my examples is if you have kids, you want to be doing all of your errands from the gym to the doctor to the hair salon within the golden triangle. And that's the 3 points between your home, your office, and your child's school. You know, I worked with a publicist recently who told me that she was going to a chiropractor 45 minutes away every single week. And I said to her, you're in an urban city. You do not need to be, you know, going that far. Let's find a chiropractor that's nearby, close to your office. She did, and she now has an extra 6 hours a month. And I think a lot of us do things like that. We get in routines and forget that we have options and that we can make really small changes with dramatic results.
I just don't want my patients that live 45 minutes away listening. So hopefully you had your ears closed during this second.
Exactly. Well, there are, of course, are exceptions. If you have an exceptional doctor, you do not want to leave him. Yes.
Or you bring your kids with you to the chiropractor that's 45 minutes away and you enjoy time in the car.
Exactly. But I always say it's like kids think going to the gas station with you is quality time. Like they don't think of it as a chore if you make it fun. And so it's like engage your kids in all of that stuff. Yeah.
That's great. And I know in your latest book, you mentioned it's a balance. You talk about work, family, personal success is the key to happy life. But there are those naysayers out there that believe in this, ready? The all or nothing mentality, that you shouldn't put too many eggs in one basket. But isn't variety the spice of life? You know, I personally believe focusing on multiple tasks keeps life interesting and healthy.
Well, yeah. And if you go through the slices, you realize that none of them are optional, right? We think most people tend to think that parenting, obviously, if you have kids, is not optional, clearly, right? And then working should not be optional for anyone because you're financially securing your kids' future. And also your own personal fulfillment. But then we also, our health, clearly, you would say, is not optional. And then relationship, if you have a relationship, that's not optional. So that's already four slices. Now, the other three slices are community, friends, and hobbies. And I have a lot of people telling me that those seem like a luxury. But I will tell you that all of the studies show that friends are vital to your health. And, you know, there's a study in 2006 of breast cancer patients. Those with 10 or more friends had a 4 times higher survival rate than those without friends. And,
yeah,
you know, our friends could save our life. Like, that's critical. And then we talk about hobbies. And they show that, you know, people with a hobby are so much more productive at work. Their mind is fresher. They live longer. So that's also a health aspect. And then there's community. And when things go wrong, our communities are what we need to be there to support us. And so it's really worthwhile to think about who your community is. Maybe it's a church or a synagogue, or maybe it's your book club or the PTA or whatever it is. It's important to figure out who that is and really cultivate that.
Right. And you bring up a good point about the hobbies. Could that also include some kids sometimes, your children? There's a lot of hobbies
Absolutely.
That you can include
family. I talk to so many professionals who include their kids in their hobbies, especially as their kids get older. And, you know, you might take them to a yoga class with you, or, you know, you might enjoy going to soccer games together, whatever that is, or playing soccer together. People do incorporate their kids, or if cooking is a passion of yours, you know, involve your child in that. Kids love that. So, I interviewed one very, very busy mom of four who runs a very successful nonprofit in New York City. And she said that every morning she takes her baby in the baby jogger and they go jogging together, and her baby looks forward to it. Like her baby's 18 months old and it's like a highlight for her. So there are so many ways to incorporate our kids or our partners into our hobbies.
Right. What about marriage and two spouses that work full-time jobs? Wouldn't having two separate careers actually leave more variety when it comes to having new things to talk about?
Well, they do. So if you read, you know, books about marriage, they say that when one partner quits the workforce to stay at home, the entire relationship changes for the worse, typically. Because if you go home and you've been seeing the world and you've been out there interacting with the world, and you come home to a partner who's only been thinking about their kids and what's going on within those four walls, it's really hard to relate to that and for that partner to have anything to contribute to conversation beyond sort of the mundane, you know, everyday things that are happening in the house. And so one of the best things you can do for your relationship is to bring home experiences and stories and people and enrich your life that way. But of course, it's also really critical. And then this poses new problems, which is how do you check in with your spouse? How do you keep that connection? And so one of the things I recommend is doing a daily check-in for at least 20 minutes a day, where it's just the two of you, whether it's in the morning or the evening. Because if you go days on end without that connection, it's really easy to start relying on your mom or your friend as your support system. And you never want to get to that point, because that's when your marriage starts to crumble in certain ways.
Right. I was shocked to see all the controversy that showed up because of you of this book. You know, mom saying, how dare you? You know, I'm a stay-at-home mom. What's wrong with that? But did it help you by saying, hey, I'm a well-balanced person. I have family. I have kids. Look at me. I'm just sharing my experience and then quoting some studies. In other words, had you not had children, had you not been able to say, look at me, I'm thin now, I lost this weight, you should read my diet book, you probably wouldn't be this successful.
Yeah, I mean, I do feel that what I found is that any woman who reads the book immediately feels better about her own life, and that includes stay-at-home moms. So when I have stay-at-home moms who are fighting against my message, when they read the book, they actually feel the opposite. So I always say, okay, let's talk after you've read the book, and then once they've read the book, they're kind of on my team. Because I'm not proposing that they need to be the CEO of a company next week. I'm proposing keep your foot in the door so that you have your options open. And unfortunately, in most of our lives, if fulfillment is not enough for you as the reason you need to keep working, in most of our lives, something unexpected happens. And in more than 50% of cases, a person's partner will unexpectedly drop dead or leave them or get sick or be unemployed. And so protecting your family financially is one of your missions as a parent. And, you know, you don't lose that mission. And so I think it's just critically important. I will say that it's shocking to me in 2016 that it's controversial to say a woman should have money of her own or earn money of her own. It's astounding to me.
Right.
And apparently I'm one of the only people or the only one who has come out to say that, because we're now in an era where it's considered politically correct to tell, you know, to say feminism is about women having choices, but we're actually doing a disservice to women if we're also not sharing the facts with them, which is like, are you going to, you know, continue to work or are you going to stay home forever? Because it's most likely that you'll be in this position of staying home forever, not just a couple of years.
I know. And you can actually go further with this study and look at people that have this work for, you know, 60 some odd years and retire, and then soon after they die, including
exactly.
My grandma. She was healthy in her 80s, and as soon as she stopped working, it's like her drive, her reason for waking up just wasn't there.
You know, I love that you said that. That's such a great point, and it's something that I should be talking more about, which is that, you know, you're having your own career and having your own goals does contribute to your longevity. You're absolutely right. And of course, you come at it from a medical perspective, which is why you bring up such a great point. But it's so true. It's like we all feel better when we're accomplishing something or striving towards some sort of goal. And there's nothing controversial about that. It's just, it's really important for your sanity, for your health. And it probably, at the end of the day, makes you a more patient partner, a more patient parent or friend, because you have something of your own and everything is not, you know, intensely focused in this one area.
True. You know, I think a lot of moms, you know, we mentioned about the time, you know, the T-I-M-E, that four-letter word, that people feel that that's an excuse. But I think a lot of it is guilt. They don't want to miss the, quote, special growing years when the child starts to crawl, walk, eat solid foods, to that first day of school. How can moms get rid of that guilt that they're going to miss out?
Well, you know, when I was a new mom, I remember saying to my babysitter, if a first happens when I am not there, like a first step or anything, it didn't happen, don't even tell me about it. Because until I see the first steps, they did not happen. You know, I was like, don't even tell me about it. So to this day, I just said to her, do not tell me if that happens. Don't tell me. I want to be the one to see the first steps, the first everything. So I actually really, really like that strategy. But I will say that, you know, I give the example of a woman I know who quit her job because she didn't want to miss a moment. And she ended up missing her daughter's first steps because she was at her older son's soccer game. And so I think what we don't realize is, like, we're going to drop balls whether we work or not. And sometimes in our quest for perfection, to be the perfect mom, the perfect spouse, the perfect entertainer, whatever it is, we end up thinking, if I reduce the number of slices in my life, I can be perfect in these other slices. And it's just simply not the case. And so we end up being disappointed. But guilt plays an enormous role in this. And I interviewed 150 women in the Pie Life, and one was Shonda Rhimes, one was Gail King, one was Liz Lang, the maternity wear designer, another was Sally Krawcheck, who's the most senior woman ever on Wall Street. I interviewed gold medalist Jenny Finch, just a wide variety of women, and even women who felt that their lives were thriving, who you wouldn't have heard of, you know, an inside salesperson or a woman who runs an oil rig. And what I found is that most of them had no time for guilt. They spent zero time feeling guilty. And so it's one of the first things we want to eliminate. It's an extraneous ingredient in your pie. It does not exist. There's no room for it. And when I talk to women, a lot of what I talk about is how to eliminate guilt, because it's such a useless emotion. It impacts your health so negatively. And one of the things I say is put yourself in someone else's shoes. would you want to go to dinner tonight with a friend who was only there out of guilt? Never, right? That would make you feel awful. So no one wants to be the recipient of a guilty decision, right? That you're with them out of guilt. No one wants that. So eliminate that. And then the other, I think, best preventative method against feeling guilty is to be present where you are. If you are at work and you are giving 110% to work, it is really much easier to go home at the end of the day and shut that off and just focus on your kids. If you are with your children for 90 minutes at night where you have your phone off, you're not checking email, you're just gazing into their eyes and fully engaging with them, it's a lot easier to go back to work the next day and not feel guilty about your kids being neglected. They're not, right? They've gotten what most people who are with their parents all day don't have, which is this, you know, couple of hours of really committed time. So it's always about being present where you are. If you're out with your partner tonight on a date and you turn your phone off and you're just really focusing and listening, that could carry you through an entire week. But we don't do that typically.
So true. Now, this book could really be good for all females, right? It doesn't really have to be for new moms or moms. It sounds like this could have a recipe for success and satisfaction.
I've been going around the country on my book tour, and in most cities, what I do is I speak at 3 to 5 companies. And in every company, I've been so pleasantly surprised, there's always men and women in the room. And this message absolutely resonates with men as well as women. My publisher wanted me to focus it marketing-wise on women, but I will tell you that all of the men who read the book say to me, this absolutely applies to men or women. It's co-ed advice. And the great thing is that all the new studies show that men care just as much about work-life balance as women do.
Right. Well, fantastic. Well, thanks so much for being with us today. This is great, great information. I think it's definitely a book that fills a void. There's no books like this. This is I commend you for bringing something very unique to the marketplace. So that's great. The book is called The Pie Life, A Guilt-Free Recipe for Success and Satisfaction. You can get your copy at SamanthaEttus, that's ETTUS.com. And while you're there, be sure to sign up for Sam's free newsletter. You can follow her on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at SamanthaEttus. And for our daily health tweets and posts, be sure to follow me at Dr. David Friedman. Also, you can stay up to date on all of our latest health and wellness segments at toyourgoodhealthradio.com, iHeartRadio, or subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. More to come. Stay tuned and stay well.